In 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 20, we read this passage last week as we began looking at the life of Benaiah, the one who would slay lions. And it says, Benaiah was the son of Joadiah, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Joadiah, did, and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three. And David appointed him over his guard. Last week we began looking at this man, Benaiah, and some people last week, they came up and they said, I'd never heard of Benaiah before. And that's what I started with last week. I said, I remember coming out of Bible school and being faced with this man, Benaiah, and hearing about him going, I don't know who this guy is. I don't ever remember. They never taught me about this guy in Bible school. I don't remember him in Sunday school. I have to tell you, though, thinking back on it, I'm sure that one day when I was a child, I'm sure that Miss Marilyn had a flannel graph, and on one of her flannel graphs someplace was Benaiah standing next to David. I'm sure she mentioned his name, but as with all of us, we can hear things about 10 to 20 times before it begins to sink in. But I'm sure that Miss Marilyn had Benaiah on one of those flannel graphs that she gave to us many, many years ago. Can I ask, how many of you had Miss Marilyn Davis in Sunday school? I know there's got to be a couple of you guys around here that had Marilyn Davis in Sunday school, and you remember her flannel graphs well. But anyways, I'm sure that she probably had Benaiah next to David, and she probably talked about him a little bit. I would not be surprised. But if I were to think about Benaiah, we talked about last week about how he was a man faithful to the end. And in the faith, as Christians, so often as we are living this journey, this life of faith, people come alongside of us. They in the church, they're living next to us as Christians, and they falter in their faith. Our faith is not to be dependent upon another Christian, upon another person, on some charismatic leader, but it's to be on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Because as Benaiah would be living his life, a man faithful to the end, there were other people who went before him, leaders, that would falter and fall by the wayside. But Benaiah stayed faithful. He would see guys like Ahitophel, David's trusted servant, reject David. Guys like Absalom reject David and what David had raised them to do, to follow God and to go their own way. And to defy David. But Benaiah was faithful, even when David himself was not faithful to his God. And so I challenged us last week to be like this lion-like man, this man who would jump down into a pit and slay a lion, would battle against lion-like men. And what a great man. And I said last week, what we looked at was just kind of like to get us interested. It's one of those stories that you might tell to children in Sunday school. That's why I brought up Miss Marilyn. It's one of those to get their attention. This guy slayed lion-like heroes. He slayed a lion. He slayed a giant. And the boys go, whoa, this Benaiah guy is pretty great. But the whole point is to get to the end of this man. I think Benaiah would have been this kind of individual. Fox's Book of Martyrs gives many, many stories of people who were faithful to the end. And a story that I remember reading years and years and years ago, and I know I've shared it many times. I don't know if I've ever shared it here, but it's been years probably since I shared it. But it's a story that stuck in my mind, and it's one that I often go back to and read. In the year 328, in a cold winter in Armenia, there was a Roman emperor who said that his soldiers needed to bow down and worship him and his pagan gods, or else they would be killed. And there was a certain detachment of Roman soldiers in this cold winter who said, "We will not bow." They said it in front of the whole town and all the other soldiers and before the general that led them. And the general said, "No, the command from the emperor is that you must bow down and give homage to these pagan gods and to the emperor himself." And they said, "We will not do that." And he said, "Oh yes, you will. Let's see how faithful you are to your God." And they took these 40 soldiers and they stripped them naked and threw them out and chased them out onto the middle of the ice on a frozen lake in the depths of winter. I mean, just think back. You remember a couple of weeks ago and it got so bitterly cold around here. And we looked out of our door and we saw some guys out in their tent ice fishing. I said, "Nope. Nope." Even my son, who fishes all the time during the summer, he's like, "Dad, let's go fishing." It's like, "Silas, what do you want to do today?" "Dad, let's go fishing." "Dad, let's go fishing." "Wait, all right. I'll grab a book. Let's go fishing." And that's fine. I would rather have my son fishing than a lot of other things, right? And so even he said, "Dad, nope." And that's surprising. But could you imagine, picture back to just a couple of weeks ago. Somebody say, "Deny your God or else we're going to strip you naked and send you out on that lake." And 40 guys went out. And so what the soldiers did is said, "You don't have to be out there." And so they built fires on the lakeside. They started cooking food. And they said, just give up and come back. You got the fire. You know, we want you to be part of us." Nope. And as the night wore on, finally, one man came off the ice. He stood by the fire and warmed himself and denied Christ. 39 stayed out there. The group, they got looking around and the soldiers saw what had happened. They saw the bravery of the 39 that were out there. And before you know it, another one of the soldiers saw this man that had left, saw those guys out there. He knew the testimony of how they lived and he decided to take his clothes off, to run out onto the lake and perish with the 39. The last thing that was heard from those men is, "We are 40 men who stand for Christ." I think Benaiah would have been one of those guys. And so tonight, as we keep going, we see that, there we go. He was faithful and promoted. I think that as David watched his mighty men and the way they stood up and the way they served him. David watched and he promoted those who did well. He was promoted to be chief of David's bodyguards. And they saw what David saw what he was capable of and said, if you are a guy who is willing to stand up to lions, to stand up to giants, I'm going to promote you. Let's turn in our Bibles and let's read this next passage that I have up there in 1 Chronicles chapter 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 27. In 1 Chronicles chapter 37, verses 5 and 6, it said, the third captain of the army for the third month was Benaiah, the son of Joadiah, the priest, who was chief in the division, were 24,000. This was Benaiah, who was a mighty among the 30, and was over the 30. In his division was Amizab, his son. So we see here that not only was he promoted to be one of David's chief bodyguards, we saw that every year, it explains here that every year, Benaiah was made the captain of David's army. So apparently David had a 12-month rotation where 12 guys that he trusted would be in charge of his army. And so once a year, his time would roll around and Benaiah was in charge of the third month to be in charge of his army. I believe that David took a look at Benaiah, said, that man is faithful, even in the small things. Well, I shouldn't say that. That's what I kind of intend. But slaying a giant, slaying a lion, those aren't small things, right? Like, I wouldn't be doing that. Probably you wouldn't be doing that either. But because you have been faithful, I will promote you over more. And that immediately makes me think of the words of Jesus Christ in a very familiar passage. Let's turn over our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25 and be reminded of this again. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking, this is in the kingdom parables. As Jesus is talking about his coming kingdom and how we ought to live on this earth preparing for God's kingdom. And Jesus Christ said in the midst of this parable in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, it says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And when I think about Benaiah, it's an earthly example of this. He saw what David did with Goliath. And he said, I'm going to follow the example of that guy who was willing to stand up for the Lord. And I'm going to stand up and I'm going to serve the same way. And he would not back down when the challenges of life came in. And he was bold in the face of those things. And David noticed that and said, I'm going to promote you. And in this life, as we face challenges and adversity, what are we going to do? Are we going to face these things like Benaiah did? Be faithful over the little things? So that when we come into our Father's kingdom, we will hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This morning I read a verse coming from the book of Numbers where Balaam says to Balak, I don't care how much silver or gold or houses you can give me, I cannot say things against the word of the Lord. and whatever this world has to offer. Whatever things you think that you can gain from this world or what people can offer, it does not compare to the rewards laid up for those who would give their lives in service for the King. The treasures of heaven far outweigh anything that we could have on this earth. I got to think that those men standing out on that lake, we are 40 who die for Christ. You know what? They could have joined that one and ran back to the fire. They could have denied Christ. But they chose to stay out on that lake that night. At the end of the night, their trial and their test was over. But who do you think got the greater reward that night? The one who ran back to the fire, warmed himself, ate the food, or those who ended up in the glory and the Father saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest." I think Benaiah would have been one of those guys. It wouldn't be too long in Benaiah's life before he would see rebellion against David. He'd watch as David faced Absalom, as David would see people rise up against him, and turmoil in his house. But Benaiah remained loyal. And in 1 Kings chapter 1, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 1. At the end of David's life, as David is coming to the end of his life and as things are winding down, David's son, Adonijah, decides that he would raise himself to take his father's throne, when David had promised it to his son Solomon. And Adonijah is going to take it of his own volition. He's going to decide that the throne belongs to him, and he's going to take what belongs to him. And in 1 Kings chapter 1 and chapter 2, we read the story of how David stands up and says at the end of his life, "The throne belongs to Solomon." And Benaiah, when guys like Joab, Absalom, Zadok, and others are willing to leave David's side and betray him, Benaiah remains faithful. I'd like to read to you 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 32, where it says, "And King David said, 'Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada.' So they came before the king. The king also said to them, 'Take with you the servants of your Lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my mule, and take him down to Gihon. There let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint the king over Israel, and blow the horn and say, "Long live King Solomon." Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place, for I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the king, Jehoiada answered the king and said, "Amen. May the Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so to you. As the Lord has been with my Lord, the king, even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of King David." So in this passage, we see that Benaiah is a trustworthy servant. He is faithful in the midst of rebellion. Even when others are falling away, even when everyone is turning their back on David, Benaiah was faithful. And in those latter years of David's life, as he's trying to turn the crown over to Solomon, he knew where he could go to. He went to Benaiah and said, "You're trustworthy. You're the one that they will follow. They'll listen to you. You've been faithful. I trust you. I'm giving you the job of making sure that Solomon succeeds me as the king." I've got a passage of scripture up there, John chapter 6, verses 66 to 71. In that passage of scripture, Jesus Christ has just fed 5,000 people. And the people are so enamored by Jesus' miracle. And they can't get over the fact of what's gone on and what's transpired, that the next morning they go looking for Jesus, and somehow he's on the opposite side of the lake. Well, we know the story because we've read the scriptures. And we know that Jesus Christ had met up with his disciples out on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of it. He walked on the water to meet them. But apparently the 5,000 people had no idea how Jesus got to the other side with his disciples, because they saw the disciples get in the boat, head to the middle of the lake, and they didn't come back, and they just thought that Jesus was still on this side. So they hear that Jesus is on the other side, they've eaten the food, and they run around the Sea of Galilee to go see Jesus. And when they get there, expecting Jesus to feed these people again and to teach all these good sayings, he says, "You're not here for me. You're here because you ate the bread." I think that they got, "Whoa, Jesus." Jesus says to these people, "Your fathers ate the man in the wilderness, and they died. I could keep feeding you for the rest of your life. You'd probably end up just like the children of Israel in the wilderness. You'd be complaining, you'd be carrying on, and you'd find something to complain about. But I am the bread of life." Then his words get kind of serious. If you read John chapter 6, listen to these words of Jesus. "Unless you partake of my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me." And everybody's sitting in there, they're taken aback at what Jesus says. And they begin to listen to his words, and they're not so sure about this. And the Bible says that after Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, I have the words of eternal life, and unless you follow me, you won't get to my Father's house." And all of a sudden, the people begin to scatter. And the 5,000, the crowd that has ran across to the other side of the Sea of Galilee to see Jesus, they're gone. And in John chapter 6, and verse 66, Jesus turns to his disciples. And I'd like to read in John 66, to verse 71, where it says, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away too?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?' He spoke of Jesus, Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12." As I look at this, I see, like in the life of David, like in the lives of believers today, Jesus Christ is looking for true and faithful followers who will stick with him to the end. And after the 5,000 have abandoned him, he turns to the 12 and says, are you guys going to leave too? Will you go too? And I love the words of Peter. And I don't know about you, but if you're struggling with your faithfulness to God, and if you will remain faithful to the end, grab on and hold tight to and cling to those words of people. Peter, right there, as he says, where would we go? You have the eternal life, the words of eternal life. And we know and have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You hang on to that when your faith feels frail. It will carry you to the end. If you don't think you could be as strong as those men on that lake, hang on to that. It'll be your strength in time of trouble. For we have to know and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and hold on to that and cling to that if we'll be faithful to the end. After the death of David, Benaiah is promoted. To serve Solomon, to be faithful to the end of David's ministry and beyond. In 1 Chronicles chapter 27, Solomon, you could write that down, but I'm not going to go there tonight. It says in there that Solomon took Benaiah and he promoted him after the death of his father. Solomon, a wise man, knew that Benaiah was faithful and trustworthy. And he wanted faithful and trustworthy people around him who would be faithful to the end. Jesus Christ is looking for people who will be faithful and trustworthy to the end and beyond. Let's close with these verses here. Revelation chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 10. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. I'm not going to tell you here tonight that following Jesus Christ is going to mean that it's smooth sailing to the end. By no means. If I read that verse there, as Paul is talking to the church, as John is talking to the church of Smyrna, he says, you're going to have trials and struggles till the end. But be faithful to the end. Overcome this world and the temptations and the trials. Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. In this world, what are you living for? The crown of life? Jesus Christ? To serve him and to follow him and be faithful to the end? I hope so. Be faithful to Jesus Christ. Will you be faithful even in the midst of persecution? Let's close with some words of Jesus over in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 21 and 22 says, now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Let's remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Let's hold on. And let's, like Peter, make his statement, his great I believe statement that he made there to Jesus Christ. Let's make that something that we can hang on to and we can hold on to. To who will we go? For you have the words of eternal life, Jesus Christ. And we have come to know and to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And because of his death, we find salvation. And the shedding of his blood, we find salvation in Jesus Christ. And because of his resurrection, we have hope in our eternal life that he paid for on that cross. And let's remain faithful to that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for a man like Benaiah, faithful to the end. Lord, and we are excited about a man who would slay lions, would stand up to giants, would keep his faith in you. But Lord, we look at the way he lived his life and his relationship to David. And Lord, he was a faithful and trusted servant. And Lord, help us, for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to be a faithful and trusted servant. And when men like Joab are rebelling against you, help us to be trustworthy in the face of adversity. May you be with us this week. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.